Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you created a world, a beautiful world for us to live in. Jesus, help us to live in this world for you every day, more fully than we're already doing. Oh God, make us aware of your presence. Make us aware of the words that we speak, and help us to be more of the aware of the words that you have spoken to us. And we thank you for this. In your wonderful, precious name. Well, here a few weeks ago, it was the first Sunday in January, I spoke about a New Year's resolution. And I talked about the words that we speak and to be aware of the things that we say, both to God and to others and about others. And I've had several comments of people that told me that since that time they have become more aware of their own words. And if you find yourself saying words that you do not want to say, or maybe talking about things that you really, as you're in the midst of it, talking about them, and you say, boy, I really shouldn't be doing this, just stop right where you're at, because that's how God teaches us. And don't feel condemned, because there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. These are learning processes of God helping us to change the way we do things. So if you find yourself saying a word or speaking something and all of a sudden it dawns on you, hey, I really shouldn't be talking like this or saying those words, just stop and don't say them anymore. And pretty soon you won't be even saying them at all anymore. It's just an awareness that develops. It's becoming more and more like Christ. You see, in our scripture today, in Isaiah, and in our bulletin, God says, so is my word that comes from my mouth, it does not return to me empty. God's word does not return empty. It accomplishes what he sets out to have it do. And our words do not return empty either. The Bible says that on the last day, we're going to give an account of every idle word spoken. And preachers and teachers of God's word are going to be held more accountable because they're opening up their mouth and saying things, and we have to be very careful what we say because it affects a lot of lives. But each of us are affecting lives. Parents are affecting their children's lives. Teachers at school are affecting the children, and children are affecting one another by what they say. Bullies affect kids by what they say, and kids that bless people affect them positively by what they say. Our words are powerful because God created us in his image. So we have some of the same attributes of God. And if God's words are powerful, he created us so that our words would be powerful too. No, we can't create something out of nothing, but we can affect lives. And simply by the words that we speak. In the Bible that I read to you today, God speaks words. And I have come to realize, actually, I've realized it for a long, long time. Take the Bible more literally than figuratively. Unless the Bible is simply telling a story or an example, take it literally, because it is God's word. And if we take it literally, we begin to see things a little differently. Now here's a word that God spoke back in the Old Testament. And it was read today from our Bible, from Zechariah, where it said, God said, behold the man whose name is what? branch. So, if God says, behold the man whose name is Branch, and he said that in the Old Testament, he said it for a reason, to apply to someone. And in the gospel that I read today, from Matthew, chapter 2, verse 23, and he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, I have shared a little bit about this word before. But I'm going to share a little more about it today because I think that sometimes when we hear things repeated, it begins to stick in our mind. Actually, advertisements on television, they say an advertisement has to be repeated 23 to 28 times before you'll actually go and buy that product. It's got to stick in our mind. That's why you'll see ads over and over and over again. They want it to stick in your mind. Behold the man whose name is Branch. And Joseph took Jesus to Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophet, behold the man whose name is Branch, Jesus would be called a Nazarene. When I lived in Israel, after I finished school or work, and I worked a half a day and went to school half a day, we'd have about an hour and a half or two before supper. I would always take a walk. I'd walk a couple miles down the road, talking to God, praying. And one day I decided to go in a different direction than I usually went, and I came to a crossroad, and there in Hebrew was a sign, Nazareth, Nazareth, an arrow. Now, I had been studying Hebrew, and I could read it at that time. And right away when I saw that word, Nazareth, I said, that's the Hebrew word for, guess what? Branch. And then something clicked in my mind. Behold the man whose name is Branch. And it was from that day forth that I began to see, hey, there is something here in Hebrew that we've been missing, that I've been missing all my life. There is a Jewish connection here that when I understand a little bit about my Hebrew and Hebraic roots, the Bible comes alive. Jesus was called Jesus the Nazarene from the city of Nazareth. Now, the een at the end there is simply what we put on in English, okay? The een is not in the Bible. It's an English expression. We've taken Nazareth and we've called it a Nazarene. Just like I'm a Spoonerite. I'm an ite from Spooner. He was an een from Nazareth, okay? And those are endings that we put on the words. But people back in those days were known, many of them were known by the city they came from. Joseph of Arimathea, the man who put Jesus in the tomb, his own tomb, Joseph of Arimathea. Judas Iscariot, Ish is the Hebrew word for man, and he was from the city of Iscariot. Judas, the man from Iscariot. Judas Iscariot. People were known by their cities. If you watch old cowboy shows, you got guys by the name of Waco and Dallas. And where are they from? Waco and Dallas or wherever, okay? Or Arizona. The people are known by these names of where they're from. Even some of us in our ancestors' lineage, our names come from cities. places that we're from. My dad, when he was in high school, was known as Leon the Swede. And some people would call him and they'd say, "Hey, hi, Swede," as his mom and dad were from Sweden. And so these are ways of knowing people. Now, we often get confused with Nazarite and Nazarene. And they have absolutely no connection whatsoever. A Nazarite, okay, again, there's the ite, the person, and it comes from the Hebrew word nazir, Nazarite. All a Nazarite was, or a nazir, was a person who separated themselves to God. They didn't have to be from Nazareth. Had nothing to do with Nazareth. If you look at the spelling is even different. And we have this in some English words too. Prostate or prostrate. Prostate, a organ. Prostrate, to fall flat on your face. But people get those words mixed up all the time. Or savor and savior. Savor, to taste food. Savior, Jesus is our savior. Spelled differently. Or desert and dessert. And who knows how to spell that one, huh? Which is which? Well, desert has one S and a dessert has two S's. But we get those words confused. And Nazarene and Nazarite get confused too. But they're spelled differently in Hebrew. A Nazir or a Nazirite was a person who separated themselves to God for a period of time. And how they did it by letting their hair grow and not getting a haircut. And they did it by not drinking any wine or grape juice. Now, what was the purpose of that? Well, the purpose of that was, here, when their hair gets a little long, you guys out there, when your hair gets long, it gets to feeling uncomfortable, I need a haircut. When their hair got long, they thought about God. Grape juice and wine was a common drink back then, just like coffee is today. But instead of drinking it, when they were offered it, no, they thought about God. We do that today, okay? Somebody may say, I'm not going to eat any soda crackers, or I'm not going to watch any TV, or I'm not going to have any sweets. And for a period of time, you're separating yourself to God. And when you have that desire for sweets or TV or whatever, you think about the Lord instead. And a Nazirite was a person who separated themselves to God for a time. A Nazarene was a person that came from Nazareth. And Jesus was known throughout the New Testament all the time. He's called Jesus the Nazarene, or Jesus of Nazareth. Do you know that when Paul was on the road to Damascus, and the light came down and knocked him down, Paul said, "Who are you, Lord?" And in Acts 22, do you know what Jesus replied to Paul? "I am Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus himself called himself Jesus the Branch. When Paul writes, he writes, I speak this in the name of Jesus the Nazarene, Jesus the Branch. And Zechariah, behold the man whose name is the Branch. God spoke it in Zechariah, and it had to come true. Jesus had to come from Nazareth in order to be called the Branch. Jesus, the Branch. And finally, on the cross, you all know what was written above the cross, and I think my mic's cutting out here. You all know what was written above the cross. Jesus, of Nazareth, King of the Jews, Jesus the branch, King of the Jews. Behold the man whose name is Branch. And right there from Zechariah, the people could see him on the cross with his name written above it. Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Branch, King of the Jews. God's word is powerful, and if God said it in the Old Testament, it is going to come true in the New. And if God said it in the New Testament, we are going to see it come true yet today. Because God's word. So is my word that comes from my mouth, it does not return to me empty. God's word is truth. Amen.